SEN America. This is the SEN MLB podcast.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to SEN Baseball. Another big week in Major League Baseball. Of course, the All-Star Game coming up. I think next week will be the All-Star Game. The final voting has come in for particular players there. That finished on June 30, so we'll go through that shortly. But before we get to standings and the like in Major League this week, joining me behind the mic, as always, Justin Charles. JC, welcome.
Good morning.
How are you, mate?
Fantastic.
How's your week been? Your week been good?
Extraordinary.
Really?
Very good. Very good.
Interesting.
Yes.
Also joining us.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, going up to the Major League Academy next week.
Well, we're going to get to that. I'll bring that up a little later, and we'll touch on you gallivanting around the countryside. Beautiful stuff. And also joining us behind the mic is Faceplant Wilson. Willow, welcome.
Morning, Gary.
Unbelievable stuff, mate. Absolutely.
Thanks,
unbelievable.
Thanks. Off the bat.
Do you want to explain the story first, or should
Love
I?
To.
You give me your take on what you think happened.
What I think happened is that I crushed the ball over the centre fielder's head, took off out of the box like a rabbit, got around first base, and my right knee gave out, and I took a head first dive somewhere between first
Sniper.
And second base. Yeah, I know you don't see it that way, but the body's getting a bit old, and it keeps going out. If you watch the whole game, it actually went out for me twice during the game when I tried to steal second base. But no, look, it was very funny. I took a big dive. The line on the ground in the dirt from my knee hitting the deck was like about 2 meters long. I took a huge slide, so that was good. That was good.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, right? So anyway, Willow comes to bat, right? JC, you're going to love this, right? Comes to bat early.
Is this practice or in a game?
This is in a game, right? Earlier at bat. First up, plonked right in the melon, right?
In the back of the head.
Gets hit right in the back of the head, right?
That's not good.
And instantly you can sort of say, gee, Willow's not the same. He's just not the same. Something's not right with Willow for the rest of the game, right?
Is this true?
He's flicking his head, and he's, you know, I think concussion straight away. It's such a topical thing right now. So anyway, later in the game, the one thing I will give him is he says he hit one well to centre field. Routine pop-up, right?
Centre fielder
has completely misplayed this thing.
That is not true.
But what happened?
Getting out by a foot.
But what happened was...
Oh, wow.
Naked Gun. You've seen Naked Gun. Leslie Nielsen, great actor, goes into umpire in that particular game. And he's moonwalking guys out, right? Willow starts moonwalking straight out of the batter's box. Routine pop-up. Centre field.
He flipped the bat.
Gives it a flip and moonwalk, right?
Did you pimp it?
I've never pimped a right? I've never pimped a bat.
Look, you can see he's blushing straight away. So
you said it was a foot from going out. Did you pimp it?
He's pimped this thing, right? Right? Starts running up the line. Can't pick his feet up. Old man can't pick his feet up. Trips over the bag and face plants like you wouldn't believe. Straight into the dirt.
Is it a scorpion?
Give it the
scorpion.
It was like a scorpion with a bad back. It's sort of just halfway, kind of half got there. And the funniest thing I've ever seen right in front of me, and like the ultimate sniper had got Willow this particular day, and Danny went. So he's had a beautiful day.
You know,
routine pop-up, misplayed by the centre fielder, goes to the pimp, falls flat in his face. Beautiful stuff. It really entertained me for
the day. You
know,
it's a good dive, though, when you wake up the next day and you realise your elbows are sore, both your hips are sore, you've got grazes everywhere. Like, I couldn't have been any more laid out in that position than I was. It was... Like, I definitely didn't pimp it, but look, I'm sticking with my story. My knee gave out, but it was probably just a sniper.
And we've all done
clumsy.
It. We've all done it.
Absolutely.
We've all done it.
Well, hang on. Mike Trout and Jose Altuve both did it this week after I started the trend.
Hang on.
Best things happened
Trout,
in threes.
Altuve and Wilson.
Wilson. Boom. Thank you. Say no more.
Well, just last word on this particular, I thought it was out anyway.
Oh, thanks.
I thought from my spot it was out. You got stooged.
Daniel Riemann said exactly the same thing. So
I thought it was out. Nah. Got stooged.
Those things happen.
Let's get into the main stuff, MLB, this particular week. Coming up, as I said, to the All-Star Game. Current American League standings, of course, Baltimore Orioles ticking away as per normal. Currently 7-3 in their last 10. Done a beautiful job. 47-31.
Set a home run record for June as a team. 56 home runs as a team in the month of June.
Of course, Charlesy, you'll love this. Kim Hyun-soo, the Korean hitter, broke the record with a home run. The Orioles have been on fire with home runs.
Led by Mark Trumbo, of course.
Trumbo has been phenomenal.
And I saw him break the Pioneer League record in 2005.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Just the most easy, natural swing. I mean, you see it now on TV every day when he plays right field, DH, or first base for the Orioles, but he was 2 years out of high school, 6'5", 110 kilos, but a fit 110. He's not a gazelle by any means, but he's a fit 110 kilos, he just has this. His swing is exactly the same. Now I don't know, but there might be a little hitch change or something. But from the day he rocked up to camp, to today, you know, after he's 6 years in the big leagues now and play for three teams and hit 200 and something home runs, his swing hasn't changed. It's unbelievable.
He's a different player this year, though, in contract year, but been, you know, sort of bounced
around. Got protection
around.
In the lineup.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, look, all that, but he's been on fire since he's put a Baltimore Orioles uniform on. He has been out of the gates, had a great spring, and he's just carried on. But he's not the same hitter. He's a different hitter this year than he has been in the last couple of years.
Watch to see what happens after the All-Star break. I know we've still got the standings to get through, but historically, he gets to the All-Star break on fire and then has fallen away. So maybe is it the uniform, is it the lineup protection or something that he can maintain that through? Or is it the fact that it is a contract year? I'm saying that.
There's certain people.
It happens a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, contract year.
He is playing for his livelihood. He's all of a sudden, it's a different perspective. I've got to get hits. And he's dotting the I's, crossing the T's, his preparation. I reckon his diet, everything is coming together.
He's just not a showboat player, and that's why I don't think that is who he is. But and that's only because I have a little bit
human
of...
Human nature, buddy.
I agree with that side as well. But
he's not a showboat. No way. I mean, he's a grinder. I love him. But I'm just saying, in a contract year, you're only human.
It's mental.
Yeah, you're only human. And it'd be interesting to see at the end of the year, when he does get that nail that big contract, and it's more than 1 year.
Yep.
Just to see where he goes from there. But he's having an outstanding year.
Baltimore doing beautifully on fire. Tampa Bay's holding up that American League East, 14 games back. They've got no hope. The American League Central, Cleveland Indians.
What about them?
Have they been on fire? Their last 10 was 10-0, but 13. They're at 12-0, going for 13 straight franchise record.
Going for 14, and 14, they're tied 1-1. At the moment, with the bases loaded in the 18th inning.
18th. So we'll get a result when that is final.
One out, bases loaded, top of the 18th. So going for a record, 14th straight win for the Indians.
And just interesting about this, they're arguably the best pitching rotation at the moment. Best pitching rotation, or performing at their best at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what they've changed? They are now, the other four starters, when it's your turn to do a pen, that they're all observing and giving feedback.
Critiquing each other.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, that is, if you're thinking that, you know, this has just been a fluke that they've, you know, sort of hit their straps as a rotation, I'm telling you, that has had everything to do with it. When you're working together and giving each other feedback.
Who played in the World Series last year?
Royals.
And the Mets, yeah. I watched 5 Mets games last year. Exactly that happened.
Yeah.
Warm up, start of the game, bullpen. The other 4 starters watched every throw.
Yeah, right.
Every step.
That's
they
awesome.
Stood as a group. They watched the bullpen. And in the Mets, bullpen is in a funny shape and it's out of the way. So you've got to go out of your way to go and see it. They're all sitting there. They're not lollygagging around and playing tap ass. They are literally standing there, arms folded, talking, watching, just concentration. It's
awesome.
Unbelievable. And I did hear that that's what the Indians are doing, and that the Mets did it last year to go into the World Series. And you've got the Mets pitching staff is probably the best in baseball.
Talent-wise.
And now you've got the Indians, who have a Cy Young winner in there, and they have a number one draft pick and prospects, and they're piecing it together. Huge part of the game.
And I've always said Salazar has been he's a great pitcher. Got a beautiful changeup with a plus fastball.
Yeah.
And I reckon he's really benefiting from that, no doubt.
Absolutely.
That's Cleveland. And I did mention to somebody during, yesterday, that in the time that we've been doing the show, I think it's the first time we've talked about Cleveland. There's a couple of teams we haven't even touched. Milwaukee Brewers. We'll get to them sort of as season goes on.
They've earned the right.
Yes.
They've earned the right.
That's right. That's the way I look at it. They've actually earned the right. And as you mentioned, Willow, 13 straight I think 12 was their franchise record. Now going for 14. If it's an 18 innings game, were they in front after nine?
Don't know. But
no, they wouldn't have been. But it's like two games.
Ground ball double play they just hit into.
And holding the bottom of the American League Central, of course, Minnesota Twins, 5-5 in their last 10, 23 games behind before the All-Star game. Really looks like, you know, for all intents and purposes, we wish him all the best and that sort of stuff. But if James Beresford can't get into this Minnesota Twins lineup, I'm not sure he's ever going to get a chance.
They're going to lose 100 games, and therefore they're going to keep bumping prospects up. And unfortunately, Jimmy's in that utility role where if they were in the hunt and they needed a player that can play all five, six positions and run and do these things, then maybe it is him. But because they're so bad, they're just going to keep putting guys up that they think could be the starting shortstop next for the next thing, 10 years. And he's going to, and it's, I don't know. I mean, he needs to probably get
he's
out.
He's hardly played shortstop. He's been some first base, lots third first base, DH, bit of second base.
Leading off DHing.
Didn't make the AAA All-Star team.
You know, it's interesting. I thought at the start of the year in spring training, I felt they gave him that. They gave him every opportunity.
Absolutely.
They gave him a lot of at-bats and a lot of innings to prove himself. And I think, Jimmy probably needs to move on.
Yeah, if there's another club looking around, you know, he and makes an offer of some sort, he needs to look at it seriously. Moving to the American League West, Texas Rangers leading the way there, currently 8.5 games. Houston 8.5 games back behind Texas. Texas have gone 6-4 in their last 10. The LA Angels in an unusual position down the bottom there, 18.5
have fallen off there.
Games back. They went 1-9 in their last 10. Former Angel faceplant Wilson. What do you think?
They've lost their starting pitching is, well, they've had a horrible year injury wise. Now you can't blame injuries on everything. They're not playing good baseball, but they've been in a lot of games. Their bullpen's been horrible. Their closer, Houston Street, went on the DL and come back, and I don't think he's got an out yet in about five different appearances. So he's struggling. Starting pitching, no good. They had their starting shortstop. Now they're starting third baseman. So they had Simmons down. Now they've got Escobar down. And you know Escobar's hitting .310 in one top of that lineup. So there's a spark on immediately.
Yep.
They just can't get enough support around Trout. Trout's hitting .320. He's having an all-star. He's going to lead, be probably the second highest vote getter for the all-star team.
Yep.
He's got better numbers than he did when he won the MVP at the midway mark. And he's, apart from runs scored, I think slightly down, but that's because he's getting on base and no one's driving him in. But he's still driving in. He's still driven in 55 runs. He's still hit nearly 20 jacks now. He leads. He's up there in walks. He's got less strikeouts than he had at this time. So he's having an MVP year.
Should Trout want out of LA?
I
know they signed a long-term deal within year. Maybe
he's going to be a free agent at the age of 29.
Prime.
29. He will have already made $250 million playing the game, and he's going to be a free agent at the age of 29. Yep. He will stay at the Angels until that contract's out. He loves playing with Albert Pujols. He loves Mike Socha. They're learning. They're building. He's there. He likes that place. And he's still got so much in his career to go to that there's no reason for him to want to get out right now. And he's going to watch Albert Pujols break some home run records and his
just
number
passed Harmon Killebrew for 11th place at 574 home runs. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question as a pitcher, Willow. Houston Street is a finesse pitcher. He doesn't have the 95 plus fastball.
Mm-hmm.
He's a change-up guy. Coming off an injury, is a finesse pitcher like that, he needs the work and continual work, and that's probably why he's a little bit off the boil.
He needs to reestablish his control, his pinpoints, get his checks in motion where he knows where he's aiming the fastball, allowing for the sink back across the plate, the changeup. Is it the mask? Is it the catcher's ear? Is it the umpire's? You have to find all these trigger points and get back in it. And he can do that in a bullpen all day long, but when you got the crowd and you got a hitter there that's 200 pounds and hit 25 jacks already this year, his things start to falter. I don't know. His rehab assignment wasn't lengthy. I think he had two appearances and then he was back up and he's got one out in about six appearances. Like, it's not been good at all.
So if he gets back into the groove, I mean, that could write their season.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Because he's good.
Oh, he's very good. But yeah, he needs to get his touch and feel back. But the problem is if he's not faltering, someone else is. Like, they've had no success back there. Salas, they've got two lefties that have been going on, and Street, I think they've blown every save they've had for the last six or seven opportunities.
Moving to the National League, at the National League East, the Washington Nationals leading the way there, gone 5-5 in their last 10. New York Mets, six games back in second place and holding up the rear in the NL East is the Atlanta Braves, currently 20-5. I see with the Nationals that Strasburg's having some back issues. High up in the back, they're saying, is a problem for him. Is that wear and tear for a long season? He's a power pitcher. Of course, they need the arm to stay strong. But if the back's not working properly, it's a long season, as I mentioned, and it's just only coming to the All-Star game now. Do they need to maybe rest Steven Strasburg for a little bit?
I think he's going to miss probably four starts regardless. And the same with Kershaw.
Kershaw also down
four to six starts just because they need to look after these guys. The problem with any injury in these guys, and I think we've touched on it before, a guy broke a toe and then had Tommy John, blew his elbow out.
Yeah.
And purely because he was landing wrong. You know, you don't want someone to, one of these guys that's that good to change their mechanics just because their back's a little bit stiff or something.
Yeah.
So they're going to make sure they're right. They're going to look after them. They're both in the playoff hunt. So having six starts or so missed, it hurts, but they're in a position where they can probably get away with it and get those two guys back in through, you know, get them in for the last 10 starts of the season and then into the playoffs.
Yep.
Did you see this week former Met Dan Murphy versus the old team?
Daniel Murphy, yes. The Nationals against Mets, yeah.
Yep. Hit two home runs to win the game virtually off his own bat.
Wow.
How do you think the Mets are feeling?
Not very good.
he's having an MVP sort of year, isn't he?
Now, you think they should, you know.
Bryce Harper saying that that Murphy's probably been the glue that's got him this far.
Yeah. What I always find interesting is the idea, let's say, yes, Murphy's with the Mets, moves across to the Nationals. When you come up against each other in this particular case, you think the Mets' scouting reports should be such that they should know the chinks in Murphy's swing and how to get him out, and
yeah, you'd think
the
that.
Scouting reports. But I'm just wondering if it comes down to whether they would have put a plan in place and the pitchers weren't able to execute that plan, or would Murphy go up to bat going, now they think I've got a hole here in my swing.
Actually, I think the point is,
you know what
his
I mean?
His work with Long, the hitting coach of now the Mets, he was with the Yankees, has improved his swing to a point where he doesn't have many holes.
Yeah. So that's what I mean.
They're trying to pitch him in. They're trying to pitch him in, and that's where he's hitting the ball out. So if you pitch the ball into Daniel Murphy, he's a better than average chance to hit it over the fence.
Yep.
If you pitch him away, he's those line drives opposite field. So
when you're hitting 370.
Yeah.
350 at the moment.
The pitch has really got to execute.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're at. Really, like he's on. Like
he
can't miss at the moment. So the pitcher has to execute in any stance. Yes, they should have a little bit of advantage, but I think if he's eliminated the holes, you could gotta say that because he's gone from hitting 300 to 350.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you got to pitch. The pitchers aren't executing, and the pitcher's probably got a bit of ego about him. Going, oh, he's not that good. He didn't do much.
Bit of Ebby Caballelucci in there. Yeah.
I want to throw the fastball.
Yeah, I want to show my authority with the fastball. Yeah, okay.
right now, Daniel Murphy has got the strike zone covered.
Yeah,
he's pretty tight. He's pretty tight.
Moving to NL Central, of course, the Cubbies, JC, keep rolling along, 51-27 right now, playing 6.54 baseball. They're 11 games ahead of St. Louis Cardinals, and holding up the rear in the NL Central is the Cincinnati Reds, currently 23 games back. Those Cubbies just keep rolling along.
They score early and often. I mean, you watch the live score updates, and the game starts, and bang, they've got four runs on the board very early in the game, and that gives their pitching every opportunity to win. And we saw this week Chris Bryant, young superstar, still only a rookie.
Yeah.
Achieve a modern era record, hitting three home runs and two doubles in the one game. The old full house, they're calling it. But
yeah, that's just unbelievable.
Look, they're really feeding off each other at the moment, and it's fun to watch.
Moving to the NL West, the San Francisco Giants still leading the way there. They've been just rolling along, 50 wins and 31 losses. The LA Dodgers six games back. We did touch on Kershaw having the bad back, so that's just going to hurt them for a short time, but it doesn't seem too serious. I think a little bit of player management, we'll call it, is a big discussion point here in the AFL. And just on that, JC, we'll always throw this question towards you. Should the players here, and in baseball you don't get a buy as such, it comes down to player management. If the manager or the coaching staff feel that you need a break, they'll sit you down for a day or two just to refresh you and get you to go again. Here in the AFL, they currently have this buy set up, and the Players Association pushing for a second buy in the AFL season. Where do you sit with that sort of discussion about the buys in AFL, considering it doesn't happen in baseball?
I think it's a great idea to play. Gone are the days of playing 22 games in a season and expecting to be fresh and ready to go for finals.
Yep.
Particularly as a ruckman, we used to play all game in the ruck, and so to play 22 games all game in the ruck, that is.
But you get 6 days off after it.
Yeah, sure, but. Clearly, Willow, you've never played footy. No, but you're not right until Wednesday. Yeah. So, it's the contact soreness, it's the recovering from bruising and actually running soreness as well.
And the players are there.
Have you ever ran 10K?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how do you feel after that
10K
run?
Fantastic. No, but point being, AFL players are now endurance athletes, and it's not a game of a lot of strength. It's a game of how long can you go and how hard can you go doing it, but there's a fine line. Baseball players are built for short spans of concentration and explosive actions, and none of the big leaguers that are good or have been playing for 10 years look anything remotely like an AFL player. And so
not even close. They look like me.
Yeah, but they do. They're bigger. They've got a little bit of fat on them and stuff like that.
Yeah. Because the nature of the game is
they've got to play
different.
162
completely different games.
So,
I mean, I'm just
in answer to your question. In answer to your question, I think it's a great idea. It's a great idea
to have a second buy.
Absolutely,
for the more AFL rest, players.
Because what they're doing now is that they're actually resting players. They're not expecting them to play 10 games in a row. They will give you a spell.
So the managers should manage their players and they should get a buy.
Yeah, absolutely. If they need to.
Wow.
If they need to,
it's
for
the
sure.
Greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
Besides big league baseball.
Yeah.
But that, just to finish off that NL West, of course, San Francisco Giants leading the way, as I said, Dodgers in second place, and the San Diego Padres holding up that NL West 16 games behind. Of course, they've already started making wholesale changes. James Shields gone. Fernando Rodney has moved on to the Marlins just in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. They're having a crack.
They're moving guys out. Are the San Diego Padres
getting ready for next year? Shredding for next year.
Yes,
I think
that's what it'll be.
And the Braves did the same. The Dodgers went and got Bud Norris straight away from the Braves to help replace Kershaw. You can't really replace him, but he's a fifth guy out there. The San Francisco Giants looking to have their three-peat. Everyone else would call it three wins in 6 years, but they're calling it a three-peat because it's an even year.
Even year, yep.
But Madison Bumgarner.
Interesting. This I know where you're going with this one. Yeah, go on, pose it.
Well, he hit for himself when they played an AL team yesterday. So obviously NL has a DH. NL, the pitcher hits, AL has the DH. Madison Bumgarner has hit a few home runs. He's hit 13 career home runs. He's hits about 200 every year, gets his base hits. He gets to hit for himself.
Yep.
They're also talking about him potentially DH-ing. I think there's a fine line.
There's a very fine line.
So he is a very, very good pitcher and has probably earned the right to hit for himself because he does it all year and it's part of his routine and so forth.
Yep.
But surely they can't be saying good things for the rest of that lineup and all those bench players.
That's
if
where
they
my question
pitcher
comes.
Pitcher gets the DH.
Imagine being the DH for the San Francisco Giants. Well, they got a good lot of faith in you, mate.
They call up
Mac Williams is fuming. But
they call up the best hitter in AAA because they've got 6 games against an AL team, and they go, "Oh, but hang on, you're only going to get to hit in 5 because we've got Bumgarner sitting there." Like, good on Madison Bumgarner for being that good of an athlete and a baseball player and being able to hit. And,
sure.
And he does it all year, so it's part of his routine. He knows he's going to have three at-bats, he's going to throw seven innings, and he's going to win every game. That's his mentality. So you don't want to change that.
Is he talking Bruce Bochy into letting him hit? Is Bruce
Bochy? I think 100% that's the case.
Is Bruce Bochy not showing leadership on this? Is it?
No, no, I don't think so. But you know what? I think this is
player management.
This is more. I reckon for sure he's actually conned Bochy into hitting. No doubt about it. To say it's my routine is a crock, because whereas every pitcher loves to hit,
I think it's part of his sales pitch.
Every pitcher loves to hit, right? But every pitcher will say that when they have a DH, they pitch better. Because they're able to focus.
They get to focus. Absolutely. But are you going to? But as the manager, where do you draw the line? And you go, well, he's my best pitcher, he's my best player. He's won us the World Series. He's a World Series MVP. If he says he wants to hit, you tip your cap and you go, okay.
That's, I reckon, exactly has happened.
Yeah.
But my question would be, in the World Series, would that happen? Would Madison Bumgarner in the American League fit? Yeah, so why? That's my point. Why do it now? And I reckon he's giving him some slack now, just because it's a game of no consequence.
And because they're leading the way, they're leading the way.
Everything's rolling along, and you know, there's talk of the home run derby.
Do you let him hit the home run derby?
Now, did you see the game?
I did.
Okay, so, and the comment from the commentators was when he hit that double. He smoked that ball, mate. He smoked it, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah, he's got a good swing.
Yeah, first at bat.
He's got authority with his swing. And
absolutely.
And he's
up there hacking.
He's got purpose and intent with his
correct,
at bat.
Correct, correct. And what the commentator said, and I tend to agree, what happened after that? Then Posey came up and hit a three-run bomb, and then Crawford came up and hit a bomb in the same innings after him.
Yep.
And what the commentator said, if you think Madison Bumgarner's double didn't ignite that dugout, then you're kidding.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? They exploded for 11 runs.
And they'll be getting a chuckle out of it.
That's what keeps a good vibe. Yeah. You know, and it's very, very much out of the castle, which is poignant at the moment because they're selling the house.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It just keeps the vibe, you know.
And they're that kind of team too, by the way. The Giants are that kind of team.
Look at their two World Series wins. They don't blow you out of the ballpark every game.
No, they're tight.
10 runs.
They're a tight team.
And they fight and they play hard.
Yeah. So.
For each other. And for each other too. Mm-hmm. And their city and all that. They've got that going on.
Absolutely. Look, we've got to go to a break. Clubby's winding me up here. But just to update you there with the standings, of course, in the 19th innings, the Cleveland Indians have taken that game by a score of 2-1, which is now 14 straight for the Cleveland Indians.
So what's that, 3 a.m. in the morning?
We're going to a break now anyway, so stick with us. You're on SEN Baseball.
Baseball is the largest spectator sport in the world. In 2015 alone, over 73 million people attended professional games in the United States, with 65 million people playing in over 100 countries around the world. Baseball is the world's second largest participation sport. Baseball is truly a game that everyone can enjoy. It's free to try and cheap to play, but most importantly, it's fun for all. From T-ball and Little League to seniors and masters, for the young and the young at heart, baseball is the perfect game for boys and girls, and moms and dads too. With over 105 local clubs in Victoria, get started by going to www.baseballvictoria.com.au to see how you can get involved today.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. We're just going to roll through a few of the All-Star game, of course, coming up. Is it July 11? Is that when?
Yeah, about the 11th or 12th. You've got the home run derby and then the game.
Right, you just mentioned home run derby. Now, this is an interesting one. JC, we've talked Korean baseball a little bit in that you were just recently over there. Have a guess what they're going to do at the All-Star game in the KBO this year.
No idea.
They have a home run king. In the KBO, they're going to have a bunt king.
A bunt king?
They're having a bunt competition.
A couple of cones down the third base and the first base.
Not sure what you do on the weekend, but they're going to have something... They're going to have something, some sort of...
Do you know why?
Yep.
They understand what wins big games and tournaments.
Yeah. Home runs.
Yeah.
Walk-off home run. How many walk-off squeeze bunts have there been? Zilch. How many walk-off bombs have there been? Lots.
Gazillion. Yeah, gazillion. Don't we love it? But
who's ranked world number one at the moment?
Japan.
And second?
Maybe Korea.
Third?
I don't think America's anywhere near it.
Might be Cuba or someone. Or play the short stain. All mastered the short game.
Absolutely. Look, we're just going to roll through a bit of the voting for the All-Star game coming up. The usual suspects are there. I think just one of the fan favourites, and is a bit of a swan song, of course, David Ortiz is right up there with the voting. Not that he's having a good year.
I tell you, I reckon he deserves every one of those votes, by the way. He's my choice.
Yeah, he's having a terrific season.
A career year.
Mike Trout, of course, leading the way in the outfielders. Bryce Harper's up there. These usual suspects. But who else have we got
there? I think,
there?
Interestingly, last year we saw the Kansas City Royals just absolutely go on a voting rampage.
And they've done it again.
Well, they did, but they got away with it last year. A lot of their guys were first and second in line, and they ended up with five starters or something. And that was huge. And I think it was a little bit distorted for who was the best at the time. But all credit to the power of the fan. This year, I don't hear the same hype around it.
There's
but
one.
The Cubs have a leading four or five of the categories. They've got Rizzo, Zobrist, Bryant, Addison Russell. I mean, they are leading six positions right now, and Dexter Fowler. But yeah. I don't see the same hype. So I don't know what Kansas City did, but the Cubs have done it better.
Yeah, well, look, and probably the only one that I disagree there, I think Murphy should play second base ahead of Zobrist. I think,
yeah, absolutely.
I think not
that Zobrist is having a bad
year.
Murphy's the closest guy to hitting 400
correct.
In the last
correct.
10 years at the
correct.
All-star break. And
it has been an ongoing thing about what city votes more than others.
Yeah.
Is always
yeah,
this
that's what Willow's
saying. Political
city did
garbage.
Year,
yeah.
Chicago.
That's the point. And I think Addie Russell, I think a case could be mounted for Story. He's had just a wonderful year
rookie,
as well.
Rookie, yeah.
There's just no real standouts.
No, that's right. That's right.
Position, I guess, is probably one of the interesting parts. I mean, Addison Russell's great, but Trevor Story, Corey Seager's probably the best player there, like all-rounded player.
Yep.
And he's third in the voting.
But and as you mentioned, KC, Chris Bryant, who went three home runs, a couple of doubles, he's leading the way there. Also for Cubbies.
Hard not to argue that.
But Arenado is the major league leader in, tied for the major league lead in home runs right now in a small park, in a shocking park. But
sure.
he is catching Bryant. Like, there's the last 3 days he's caught him up, and when the standings come out for the when it's finalized, is this final? Oh, it's final now. Okay.
30 of June was the cutoff.
Oh, he closed, sorry, I correct myself then. He closed 600,000 votes in the last 2 days or something. Arenado did. Like, there was a big push for him to get it after he tied the league lead for home runs.
I think, there's always going to be opinions, and that's all it is, really. It's an opinion. But I like Donaldson ahead of Machado at third base in the AL.
Yep.
I like Pedroia ahead of Altuve.
Yep.
At second base in the
Josh
AL.
Josh Donaldson, how dare you put him ahead of Manny Machado?
Manny's a knob.
Well,
Donaldson's a bigger one.
there's some good players either way.
I'd have Miggy at first base ahead of, who have they got there?
Eric Hosmer.
Yeah. I'd have Miggy every.
But that's the Royals vote. Like he's the leading vote getter. I think. Look, he is a big fan favorite. He's a good,
player. But I'd have Miggy ahead of him any day.
Yeah, but then Miguel Cabrera deserved to be there 3 years ago. He probably doesn't deserve to be ahead right now.
He got his 2400th major league base hit just the last week. I think it was. But moving on,
Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. amaze me as the outfielders for the AL.
Yep.
Is that some Boston voting? I mean, they're good, and Jackie Bradley Jr. had the 25-game hit streak or something like that, and Mookie Betts had
Bradley Jr.
seven bombs in two
Jackie
games.
Jackie Bradley's been legit this year.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they're not legit. It's just interesting that they are the guys that are in that position behind Trout. I think that probably...
As long as they're behind Trout, I have
no problem. Would you
more
have,
exciting.
Who would you have ahead of Betts?
Well, Trumbo won.
Absolutely.
He got us on that one.
No. Fair darts. I haven't seen the list, but
fair
agree.
Darts.
But fair darts.
But no, I don't know who else. I just find it interesting.
I think Lorenzo Cain's
not having his best year by far. Batista, he's getting old now. So they're the right guys to be there. They're just not your traditional outfielder that makes those spots.
Yeah. No. Look, we're moving on.
But I think Trumbo, I think you're right there. I think he has a legitimate claim
at
a starting spot.
He'll get
spot.
In at some stage.
It'll be July 12, 13 in there. So keep an eye out for the All-Star game. This year, San Diego, of course, about the only highlight they're going to have this particular
for the next 10 years.
Shields gone. Fernando Rodney gone. But hey, but we've got the All-Star game, so congratulations.
They might not have anyone in it.
They'll have nobody in it. But Jay, so you're moving up to, you're going up to the MLB camp in Queensland over the next few days just to have a look around. You're going to see some of the guys who will be a part of the Honkerball tournament, Australia heading over to the Netherlands for the international tournament over there. A couple of changes that have happened just in that Honkerball. Stephen Welsh has pulled out of the lineup. Coming in his place, I believe, will be Ryan Searle, who was released by the Lamego Monkeys of the CPBL, the Chinese professional baseball.
Was he monkeying around?
He was monkeying around. Yes, he was.
And Clubby loves a pun.
But he's re-signed.
Look at him.
He has re-signed.
He's signed with Unipol Bologna, is the Italian baseball league. So he's moving to Europe to continue with his pro career, and hopefully he's teed up with him to allow him to go to Honkerball and be a part of that. Some of the questions I just want to pose, and one that has happened just in probably the last week or 10 days, Logan Wade with the Fort Myers Miracle, Minnesota Twins, has been released. Should Australian baseball try and get Logan over to Europe to be a part of this tournament? Because he is one of the hottest prospects we have in this country, and right as it stands now has been seeing 90 mile an hour for probably a couple of hundred at bats.
Yeah,
so do you try and get him to go there?
Yeah, why not?
100%. You have to get a guy that's just come off 55 games and 200 at bats or whatever. You have to get him in your lineup, because these guys that are on this list, most of these guys were on the list when I was rolling around back in 2007.
Let's be fair. It's probably about a C-plus lineup.
It's not, and that's because most of the minor league players and the major league players can't get released from their clubs to do it, and that's fine. That's part of baseball and so forth. But if you have the opportunity to get someone that has just come out of a season or has unfortunately been released, but is very good and has proven themselves in the ABL and all along the way, you've got to get him in that lineup somehow.
100%. Yeah. Easy on the C grade. I'm going up to try and tee up some interviews for us, Fritter.
But this is a reality. And just let me roll through some of these names.
Sure.
These are the guys that will be unavailable for this Australian national team who are currently affiliated in the US. And I'll just preface this by saying also I'm throwing Travis Blackley in there, who's currently over in Mexico. So there's an Australian starter who started one of the games in the WBC qualifier in Sydney. But let me just roll through. Dean Aldridge, James Beresford, Jake Bowie, Ryan Dale, Alan D. San Miguel, Sam Gibbons, Liam Hendricks, Sam Holland, Nick Hutchins, John Kennedy, Matt Canelli, Sam Canelli, Steve Kent, Connor McDonald, Todd McDonald, Daniel McGrath, Peter Moylan, Robbie Perkins, Warwick Saupold, Zach Shepherd, Brennan Stenhouse, Sam Street, Lewis Thorpe, currently injured on the disabled list, Jake Turnbull, Todd Van Steedsel, Logan Wade, who we just talked about, has been released but may head over there, and Alexander Wells. Now, that is a great, that's a lot of baseball talent that is essentially unavailable for selection.
So, Honkball aside, just World Baseball Classic.
Yes.
Imagine we could have Travis Blackley, Dan McGrath, Lewis Thorpe, Sam Gibbons as our four starters. Take one out, throw another one in.
Yes.
And then our bullpen is Peter Moylan, Sam Street, Grant Balfour.
Saupold.
Warwick Saupold.
Yeah.
Three.
You'd have him
you got three big
But you've got options. And you know, if we're able to get our A-grade team, we're absolutely competitive.
Yeah.
Formidable lineup, competitive. Maybe it's a B-minus. Is that a better?
Look, these guys, the guys on the Honkball list, fortunately I've played with a lot of them and I know them well, and they're all outstanding baseballers and have done great things in their careers, World Cups, World Baseball Classics, Major League Baseball players. Shane Lindsay throws 100 miles an hour and pitching the big leagues. You hope that they go away and they compete and they win. And you think that they will to some degree. But it's just unfortunate that these tournaments are in times where we can't get our best team on the park. And that's not taking anything away from them, because these guys are going to go away and do the best they can. And they've all done really well.
Absolutely.
Over the last
represented
few years.
Their country before, yeah.
And they've all done really well recently in the ABL. Just coming off an ABL season, they're all probably keeping their shoes warm in winter right now, just getting their swings in. But they've all just played very well. You know, Trent Olchin's running an academy with Ryan Roland Smith.
Yes, next so gen.
Look,
he's taken bats and coaching and doing all the right things, so they're going to do well.
Yeah, we spoke off air, though, what is the purpose of the trip? And make no mistake, it's to gain points for the World Baseball Classic.
For the Premier 12.
Premier 12, and that's what we've got to be looking at. And hopefully they can do that. They can rack up the numbers and, get the points required.
Unfortunately, they're going to come up against Chinese Taipei, Japan, Curacao, and the Netherlands.
Who are also in the middle of their seasons.
They're going to be missing some guys, but those guys are all ahead of us in the Premier 12.
Yes.
And they are all historically far better.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, JC.
They've got better depth.
Japan ranked number one. Korea's up there in the top three or four. Australia currently ranked 13. I was just trying to point out the little disparage between players that, if in the perfect world we were able to have them, we could absolutely be competitive and go away as a serious contender. Just unfortunately, due to the affiliation with Major League Baseball, a lot of these players are unavailable. We fill the spots.
Well, the key is depth, because every league is going to be up against that.
Yeah.
Every country is going to be up against that. Their best team isn't going to be there. Obviously, the big guns aren't going to be there, but the depth of Japan and Korea and Cuba and countries like that, they've just got better depth.
We have a list that you read out that has, say, 30 guys on it.
Yeah.
There was a point...
It's a full squad.
Six years ago, where there was 100 guys on this list, though.
Yeah, I had a conversation last week, and it was interesting, with somebody involved with Australian baseball. And when the ABL first started, some over six seasons ago now, we had around 75 players signed to affiliated baseball clubs in the US.
When I was signed, I think there was 104.
You think they would have signed you if your name was Faceplant Wilson?
Probably not.
But anyway.
The other thing on that is that...
Now we're down to around 24.
Yeah, and the other thing that of those, say, 70, and now we're down to 25, half of those guys that were gone spent less than or equal to 1 year there.
Yeah.
They got no real opportunity to shine. I don't know what it is. We've talked about it. They get there and really they'll stand out where they were, and they get there and they're not. Whatever it is, I don't know. But option to grow into it or develop it or be on it. They're still 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids getting released, and the number one draft pick was 22 years old. There's a little bit of disparity between what we're getting as free agents and getting an opportunity to have 2 or 3 years to build into it and develop and grow versus them taking a first rounder
at 22. It's a good point, because, Darryl George goes over as a kid, goes through 4 years of professional baseball, and he's a better player now than he ever was.
Absolutely.
You get 400, 500 at-bats.
I was going to use...
And now he's actually ready for pro ball. Mm. But see, this is the preparation of our kids, and I go over to Korea and see, you see high school kids, year 7, 8, 9 kids practicing 8 hours a day, six mm-hmm. days a week. And by the time, those kids, this one of 20,000 junior high school kids at Chungnam Junior High would whip our under 16 Australian team of the same age.
Yeah.
And it's just because these kids are crammed in 10 years of experience. It's effectively we're playing against 25-year-old kids at the same age because they've got the experience.
25-year-old in baseball maturity,
In baseball maturity.
We've had 25 at-bats and they've had 250,000 at-bats.
Correct. I'm glad you put the zeros on there, Willow, because that's true.
Matt Kennelly's an interesting one for me. He's one of our leaders when it comes to Australian baseball. Would be one of the first picked to go and represent Australia at any sort of international tournament. Currently over there at AA with Mississippi, the Atlanta Braves, a catcher. He's playing some first base DH and doing some catching, but he's only played 7 games and he's had 25, maybe 30 at-bats or something like that he's had. And this is over a six-month span.
Yeah.
And he's really just going out. One of our best products is really just going over there sitting on the bench for a long period of time.
Our best catcher, arguably, Alan D. San Miguel, is a backup catcher at best over there right now.
Currently with the Royals.
Yeah.
And same deal. He's had about 6 or 7 games and that's it.
And defensively, he's probably is equal to or better than the guy that's catching, but it's the hitting again. As Australian baseball comes back to our hitting is the downfall. We haven't had a true hitter since
Dave
Nielsen. Yeah.
Also, how much you signed for?
Oh, no, at AA and AAA, it's a little bit different with regards to money's kind of out of it. It's been 5 years since you've signed. The money doesn't really matter. If you're a highly touted prospect, yes, potentially. But if you're going to, if you are a power hitting catcher, then you're going to get the job wherever.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, he's not. He's a very, very good defensive catcher. And yeah, he runs into a home run quite a lot, but he's hitting below 200. I think
we're rolling
alumni stats.
It's hard to hit above 200 when you're only playing once a week.
But all the alumni batting stats that came out were at 200 or less.
The interesting, nice segue into the alumni. There's a great opinion piece that's been written there by the Australian Baseball Alumni. Get a chance, if you get a chance, read it, because I think it's a very, very important time in the evolution of baseball in this country. We've talked over the last couple of weeks about where the game's at and what should or should not happen. Let's pretend, I'll just pose a quick question. We've only got a minute to talk about this, so we can't dwell on it, but let me just pose a quick question is, what happens if the ABL doesn't happen again? What should happen in Australia if the ABL does not happen?
Do they go back to the two-week Claxton Shield tournament, or do they try and make a better, I don't know, a more even national Oceania competition? I don't know. Or do you just try and strengthen the Division One baseball in each of the capital cities and hope for the best? It's an interesting concept, because if you go back to the Claxton Shield,
we're going to talk about this again over the next few weeks. It's going to come up again.
You were back where we were 10 years ago.
Yep.
7 years ago, and that was a great 2 week tournament. I mean, fantastic time,
great
and
fun.
And you, but you don't get the at bats, you don't get to see the prospects, you don't get to grow as a nation and as a baseball player or a team. You get to have a good time away, and you get to represent your state and maybe represent your country if there's a qualifying tournament thereafter. But outside of that, there's not a lot to it.
Well, you're about to read on my opinion piece that will be posted on the alumni as well via Kingsley Collins on what my opinion on that exactly will be, because it's been poo-pooed every time I come in here, so I'm not going to talk about it here. But
poo-pooed every time? No.
Yeah, you poo-poo it all the time and it gets me upset.
Surely you've learned not to get it.
But Chris Oxring and Michael Nakamura absolutely share the same opinion, and so stay tuned to my
opinion piece. I'm trying to look before, and I'll just talk to Willow then, so I don't upset you, JC. I think we need to even look.
No, it's just your small mindedness. It's just you can't see outside of the box.
I think it's really important before we even get to the Claxton Shield, before that discussion's even talked about.
Well, that's what the Little League process is.
No, I think there's a whole. Let's forget the playing side of things. I think there's a whole lump of questions that need to be answered before you can even forget playing baseball.
Yep,
just forget the playing side of things. I think there's a whole bunch, and I'm talking from the top to the bottom, before you even talk about playing in any sort of international competition. We don't have any
we
time
need to
go
we
into
need
this.
Our development program needs to
be coordinated.
Be far more enhanced, but it all comes down to money. Now that we're back as an Olympic sport, we may get some more funding, and they could really start to try and grow. But there's going to have to be a lot of change, and people don't like change.
I'm talking even boardroom stuff.
Correct,
absolutely. I'm off field already. I'm talking.
Yep.
The boards need to reconsider their positions, and employees need to reconsider their positions.
Think the problem with our boards is most of them don't even have a baseball player on them.
Who are they?
But correct.
Give me a name. With his crickets. We've got crickets.
Yeah, but that's it.
Look, we're coming towards the end of the show anyway. We're just a couple of little house cleaning things. We've got to clean up Pete Rose. The great Pete Rose was inducted into the Reds Hall of Fame just this week over in Cincinnati. So congratulations to the great Pete. Maybe a stepping stone to getting into the baseball
Hall
of Fame.
Why is that taking
so long?
Get
in posthumous.
I just don't think he helps his own cause. I think Pete's... When you refer to, and this is my last little bit of housekeeping, I'll get to that, Ichiro, and we're on the 3,000 watch, needs 12 hits to get to 3,000. Mm-hmm. When Pete Rose refers to him as the hitting queen, I think it's demeaning to a lot of people, and they find it upsetting the way that Pete Rose is all-encompassing, high and mighty. And I don't think he cares, to be honest. I think he would love to go in just to top off his career. I don't think he cares all that much.
He's still admits to betting on baseball now and all sorts of different things. It just doesn't
He'll sign a ball
well.
For you. If you pay him an extra $100, he'll sign, sorry for betting on baseball, Pete Rose. He does that now. That's a given. And he just signed, probably a couple of months ago, signed a $14 million contract with a baseball sports memorabilia organization to do signings at various locations. So a nice little $14 million in the kick to, and plus $100 on top of that for, sorry for betting on baseball, on Pete Rose. Interesting stuff. But we're on Ichiro Watch, 12-4-3000, a legendary hitter, and of course was also the Guinness Book of Records has recognised Ichiro as the greatest hitter of all time.
I hope he goes back to Japan and gets 3,000 there as well.
Wow, that'd take something, I'll tell you. 1278 is what he got in Japan, so he needs to go back at 60 years of age and get another 1,800 hits.
Hang on. How many hits is he shy in Japan?
He got 1278 in Japan before he came to MLB.
I said that thinking that he got 2278. I thought he had 2278.
No, 1,270.
He's not going to go and get 3,000.
I don't think he's going to. And just to sort of balance it all out, Pete Rose, if you add Pete Rose's minor league hits with his major league hits, Ichiro's still 500-odd behind him. So yep. there's a way to catch in professional baseball, but the Guinness Book of Records has really been careful with their wording that it's at the top level of baseball, full stop. Ichiro is now leading the way and recognised by the Guinness Book of Records. That's all we got. If you don't believe it, go and buy the book, Guinness Book of Records.
No, I believe
I'm sure they'll
it.
Love the play.
I believe they've done it, but I don't know how they can compare the Japanese league to Major League.
Because it's the top.
And you're just agreeing
that Japan baseball's superior to American baseball. So, you know, we can't have it both ways. It's just...
I never said that.
Swings and roundabouts.
Can't wait to read his opinion piece after he sat on the fence about bombs versus hits versus bunts versus everything.
We're going to go
anyway.
I never
sat on the fence at all.
Good stuff, guys. Well done, Charlesy. Good to see you again, mate.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Look at him, ready to go in his uniform too. In the
every week, mate.
Baseball show, baseball uniform on.
He's ready to take hacks right now. But Faceplant Wilson, thanks for coming.
I hope I have another one today.
Good on you, Willow. Thanks. You've been listening to SEN Baseball. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the SEN MLB podcast. For more SEN America podcasts, head to sen.com.au. To keep up to date with the latest American sports news and interviews from around SEN, follow SEN America on Twitter at SEN America and on Facebook at facebook.com/SEN America.